Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and I am the managing editor for Reader Views.
And I'm Victor Volkman with Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's May 21st, 2009, and welcome to episode number 88 in our series. Tonight's topic is Everything You Wanted to Know About Subsidy Publishing But Were Afraid to Ask. And our special guest is Pete Masterson. We'll have a conversation about all the aspects of publishing and self-publishing this evening, and you can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. Please send us your questions and comments to info@authorsaccess.com. Now, tonight we're on the line with Pete Masterson, who is the author of Book Design and Production, A Guide for Authors and Publishers. He founded Eonix Publishing Group in 1997 after having owned a print shop, managed a book-oriented typesetting service, doing work for large and medium-sized publishers, and managing the publications and graphic production contractor at NASA Ames Research Center. He is a publishing consultant, book designer, and cover designer, accepting a limited number of new clients. During his career, he pioneered print-on-demand production for Price List Publications at Southern Pacific Railroad and was an early participant with desktop publishing in a print shop setting. He has supervised production of more than 1,000 publications. He is currently focusing on sales of his book and in sharing his publishing knowledge with the independent publishing community, and he is one of the pillars of the self-publishing group at Yahoo Groups, and I always enjoy hearing what he has to say, so I'm especially pleased to say hello, Pete.
Good afternoon.
I am really glad you're here, too, because I see your posts all the time. In fact, every time something comes out, and that's on a daily or twice daily basis, sometimes you're always posting something. So I'm really glad to have you here and talking to you in person. So being our topic today is all about subsidy publishing, and we're afraid to ask, and I'm really glad we're talking to you because there's just so many mixed views on what subsidy publishing is and so many different terms for it, too. So first of all, what I wanted to get clear from you is, what is the difference between subsidy publishing and vanity publishing?
Well, actually, there's no difference between subsidy publishing and vanity publishing. The vanity publishers originally went by that name, and then as their practices led to a negative view about what they were offering, they shifted over to the term subsidy publishing, and of late they've started calling themselves self-publishing companies, which is a little bit fraudulent in my opinion, but that's the term they're now starting to use. The point is, if you pay somebody to publish for you, that is a vanity, subsidy, self-publishing company of some sort.
So you also brought up self-publishing, and you're right, I've noticed that the subsidy publishers are advertising it as self-publishing, but I was under the impression that self-publishing is if I took all the efforts onto myself and I did everything and ended up going to a printer or Kinko's or wherever and had the book published and I did everything. Is that really how it all started?
Well, that's really correct. Essentially, there's three basic ways to be published. The first is with a traditional trade book publisher. The second is to publish using the services of a subsidy publisher by whatever name they're calling themselves these days. And the third option is to be an independent self-publisher, that is, to do it yourself. Now, an independent self-publisher does not necessarily mean that you do everything yourself. You can hire many professionals, such as myself, to help you with your project and do the parts of the process that you couldn't do for yourself. So it isn't that you're just on your own as a self-publisher. There are many editors and book coaches and consultants that can help you with your project and make a fully competitive book for the marketplace.
So, yeah, that makes sense for sure. Also, I've heard recently the term of co-publishing used by subsidy presses with the several different, same concept as subsidy, but some others have also said, no, we're not going to charge you to publish your book, but you have to buy 500 copies of your book to defer the cost.
The term co-publishing can be a key word with the secret handshake of the subsidy publisher, but there are co-publishing arrangements that a self-publisher may make for their own convenience. For example, one of the authors I helped originally self-publish his book later made an arrangement with a small publisher that handled books in his same general subject area so that when he printed his second edition, he published it with them under their imprint to get the advantage of their distribution services. And they made a financial arrangement where he paid for the printing and they were handling the warehousing and all of that, and they split the revenues. That's a co-publishing arrangement, and that one is an open and above board thing, not a self-publishing deal where the author is actually, not a subsidy publishing deal where the author is actually being a client to a company that's got full control of the process. So the difference between subsidy publishing is you are signing on to kind of a set deal, and you just go along for the ride and pay your money. An honest co-publishing arrangement is where you've negotiated with a small publisher who may not normally take on partners in a publishing project, but will, for various reasons, perhaps work with your project.
Yeah, that's a really good explanation of how that works. And is it also vanity publishing if you sign up with a publisher and then you find out that they have a mandatory marketing program or editing services that you're expected to sign up with?
Well, yes. There's one company, I won't name names, but they claim to be a very selective firm, and they charge a $5,000 fee for a marketing training class.
Ouch.
And, you know, I have no way of knowing. If the class is really good, it may be worth $5,000. I don't know. I'm not going to pay the $5,000 to find out. The deal is they sign you up, you take the $5,000 class, and you get 10 copies of your book for free. And then you buy additional copies as you might wish, and they are the official publisher, and they pay you a royalty on any sales that you happen to make of your book. Whether that's a legitimate deal or just a very expensive scam, I have no way of knowing. But I would take it at face value that it's probably not the wisest thing to do, although they claim to have some celebrities who are very happy with their arrangement. Of course, who knows? Maybe they only didn't pay the $5,000.
Right. We'll never know for sure. I'm curious, just switching gears a little bit, if I'm starting out in self-publishing, what are the decision points that I need to look at to go with print-on-demand or a big offset run?
Okay, well, let's back up just a little bit and clarify what print-on-demand is. There are basically two meanings of print-on-demand, not to be confused with a subsidy publishing meaning of POD publishers. Those are simply subsidy publishers who use a print-on-demand business model. Print-on-demand can mean printing one book for each order. It is sometimes used to refer to digital printing companies that specialize in ultra-short-run press run. You can digitally print a book in economic quantities from one copy to perhaps 500 copies. Over 1,000 copies, it's usually more economic to print with an offset printer. In between 500 and 1,000 copies, you generally need to look at both alternatives because depending on the project, it may be more cost-effective to use digital printing or offset printing. More and more larger offset printers are adding digital printing operations to their services, and that's because there is a continuum. My last printing, I was actually mildly surprised to discover that the cover of my book was, to my expert eyes, I spotted that it had been printed on a digital press. And I made inquiry, and they said, well, they were balancing the workload between their different divisions and just did the cover on the their digital press. Now, there wasn't, there wasn't a quality issue or anything like that. It's just that I spotted some telltale signs.
Interesting. A lot of times when the print-on-demand was begun in the industry, it was sort of looked as a way to increase the life cycle of a book, such that you'd start out, you know, with the big offset runs, and as those sales kind of slowed down, you'd eventually switch to print-on-demand. But I've always wondered if it couldn't be done the other way around, where you'd start with print-on-demand, and if the interest warranted it, then you would, you know, switch to offset.
Well, actually, that's a very valuable approach. The sister company to Ingram Book Group, the largest book distributor in the United States, is called Lightning Source Incorporated, or LSI. And they originally were formed to service the large publishers who had many books that reached an end-of-life situation where it simply wasn't worth printing another 500 or 1,000 copies and storing them in a warehouse for 3 or 4 years, selling just a few copies a month. And so they came up with the concept of storing the books electronically and then printing a book as each order was received. And that's true print-on-demand, where one book is printed for each order received. And this is very valuable for the self-publisher who can, with a minimal investment, place the book with Lightning Source. It will be picked up through the Ingram distribution system and is therefore available in Amazon, and all the bookstores can order it. And depending on some choices you make as to discounts and returnability of the book and so on and so forth, it can generally put a book on equal footing with every other book that's out there. There's the layman has very little ability to tell the difference between an offset printed book and a digitally printed book, with the exception of books that have a lot of photographs. Digital printing is not currently of a quality level where you want to have like a coffee table picture book, but most other books, there's very little qualitative difference, so it works quite well. And it's a very inexpensive approach to publishing your work as a self-publisher on a limited budget.
Well, that's, you know, that's some really good information, and certainly gets the definition of POD defined. Pete, you know, we're here to talk about subsidy publishing and everything we wanted to know and are afraid to ask. And sometimes there are a lot of rumors that go around and poo-pooing and so on. So I want to get right into subsidy publishing. And from your perspective, what are some of the disadvantages with going with a subsidy or vanity firm?
Well, When you look at your choices of getting published, it boils down to what is your goal for your book. I've learned that beginning authors, beginning publishers, they wish to be published for a variety of reasons. Profit is often one that is very low down on the list. And essentially, if you have a memoir for someone who has done nothing memorable, a book of poetry that you doubt anybody would read, a family history that only the immediate family really would care about, those are perfectly good books to put with a subsidy publisher and basically find the cheapest one that you can find. And I can suggest Amazon's CreateSpace or Lulu.com as being perfectly adequate and lower-cost subsidy publishers to handle that kind of project. If you have some serious aspirations for your book, there are some difficulties with subsidy publishers. For example, you have virtually no credibility as a published author. Only those few people who don't recognize the subsidy publisher's name won't immediately know that you used a subsidy publisher. You will not get reviewed by Publishers Weekly, Library Journal, or any of the other important pre-publication reviewers. Few, if any, reputable review publications will review your book. Now, this isn't to say that self-publishers have it made with reviewers. They don't. But if you look at Publishers Weekly, if you understand how ISBN numbers are structured, you can spot that there are always a few self-published books in Publishers Weekly. You will never find a book from one of the major subsidy publishers in Publishers Weekly. They just simply don't get into the review pages. A subsidy publisher, you will not get your book into mainstream distribution. Actually, what most of the subsidy publishers do is they use the POD model, and they basically give the book to LSI, Lightning Source, to print and fulfill orders through Ingram. However, often the pricing is high to make up for the markups that goes into the pocket of the subsidy publisher, and therefore the book is overpriced, or else the discount is reduced. And in the case of a short discount book, the only one who will stock it is Amazon, because they stock everything. Actually, they don't really stock the POD books. They simply list them, and they know they can order them very quickly. Many subsidy publishers needlessly tie up a book with license terms. One wants a 10% advance if you happen to resell the book to somebody else, or rather 10% commission. Many make it difficult to withdraw the book from the subsidy publishing company to republish it yourself, although there are some who offer reasonable, time-limited, non-exclusive contracts. If you have the subsidy publisher do production work for you, it is usually mediocre at best and incompetent at worst. For example, one large subsidy publisher has the typesetting done in China by non-English-speaking typesetters. Imagine the difficulties you have getting corrections made. You may find extra charges for cover design, charges for copyright registration, and many other miscellaneous charges that turn into required options. And then, even after you pay for all of this work, you don't own any of it. If you decide that you want to republish on your own, you'll find that the subsidy publisher holds the copyright to the cover. You can't use that cover. The subsidy publisher will not release the native layout files for the interior of the book. You may have a PDF of it, which makes it very hard to fix many of the typesetting errors that probably are in the book. And so you have a difficult time, and essentially everything you've invested in the subsidy publisher is lost, and you have to start from scratch to publish on your own if you decide to go that direction. And finally, the biggest problem is if you go with a subsidy publisher, you simply won't sell very many books. New York Times, in an article in March 1, 2004, titled Got a Book in You, they reported that many titles sell 150 to 175 copies. Now, the calculations I've made based on subsidy publisher press releases suggest that the total may be closer to 40 to 100 copies. Many authors will pay for 50 or 100 copies to give and sell to family and friends. 40% of iUniverse's sales, and the iUniverse is one of the largest of the subsidy publishers, 40% of their sales are made directly to the authors. Susan Driscoll, president of and CEO of iUniverse back at the time this article was published, was quoted as saying, only 84 titles out of 17,000 published by iUniverse have sold more than 500 copies. And the bad news there is, if you do the math, 84 titles out of 17,000 is less than one-half of 1%. Lulu.com was very upfront in a 2006 article that appeared in the Times of Great Britain. The company founder stated, instead of our goal was to have 1 million authors selling 100 copies each, rather than 100 authors selling 1 million copies each. Well, very few Lulu titles have sold even 500 copies, so they're heading on that 1 million authors at 100 copies each. So if your goal is small, that you don't care to sell more than 50 or 100 or maybe 200 copies, then the subsidy publishers are the way to go. If you have higher goals, then you should stay away from the subsidy publisher and consider doing it yourself as a true independent self-publisher.
Wow. I wish you could see me here, because I'm sitting here with my eyebrows raised the whole time. It's like I'm learning a lot. I had no idea. And so my question actually is, a typical package with a subsidy publishing company, what would the cost be? Well, what is all provided in these packages, really?
It varies all over the lot. At the low end, CreateSpace is very it's kind of the do-it-yourself subsidy publisher. They have some very modest charges of basically under $100, but you deliver your print-ready PDF file to them and your print-ready cover file to them, and they go ahead and they publish those without any work at all. You might see offers for, well, it depends on the subsidy publisher. Some will offer kind of a menu of options where you might pay as little as $200 or $300 for a cover and $200 or $300 for the interior design and layout typesetting, and then another $200 or $300 for a distribution package, which really means they're going to put it with Lightning Source, which you could do yourself for about $100.
Okay.
But those services are really pretty bad, and they'll range up to $5,000 or $6,000 packages.
Uh-huh.
Very often they're set up so that it's a little bit and a little bit more. The idea is to get the subsidy publishing client to pay a little bit and then realize they need a little more and a little more, uh-huh. So that they end up paying quite a lot.
Pete, you had mentioned that some of the smaller packages, I guess it would be that the author would send in the print-ready files. And, you know, as a review service, we get all kinds of books here, from the self-publisher to the subsidy to major publishing companies. And, you know, those that are sent here that I can't prove, but I can venture a guess, that have been sent to the subsidy press as print-ready, sometimes really, really bad. And, you know, it just... I don't even know what to say here, because I'm amazed that a subsidy publisher or anybody would even take on and put their name label onto a book that comes out so bad. Because it's a bad reflection on everybody, and quite often, you know, it's not only the author that has the bad reflection of putting out a bad product, but also the company that does.
Well, many authors make the serious mistake that they write a book in... using Microsoft Word, that then they can format that to sort of look like a book, and that's ready to print.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is the book production process includes use of editors and proofreaders and proper design and formatting and quality typesetting. The self-published book needs to be the equal or better than the major publisher books to have a chance in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, the subsidy published books often are mediocre,
mm-hmm.
at best. I've been involved as a judge in book award programs and was the manager for several years of the Bay Area Independent Publishers Book Award Program. And over the last 6 or 7 years, I've seen a lot of books, a small percentage of those entered into the contest were published through subsidy publishers, subsidy presses. And the sad fact is, every one of the subsidy published books were in last place. They were just simply, they did not have editorial quality, they did not have design quality, they did not have cover quality. Covers were often trite or formulaic. Well, you know, the $2.99 package, you get your choice of cover design A, B, or C. And guess what? Cover design A, B, and C appears on hundreds of books and is a dull, you know, sure, they change the title, but it's a dull design. It's the key thing is it takes a certain amount of time to do a job right. And graphic arts work in the United States, the average rate is a little over $60 an hour. And if somebody says they'll do a cover for $300, that contemplates they're going to do that cover in 5 hours.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've done covers, and you can't do a finished cover in 5 hours and have any kind of quality to it. Heck, I've spent 5 hours just sifting through my stock art photographs to look for the proper photograph for a cover. Believe me, they're not doing that for
$2.99. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, really, Pete, in all fairness, we've talked about all the disadvantages of going with a subsidy publisher. Are there any advantages that you can talk about?
Very few. Like I say, if the book has limited appeal, and I've helped a few people with such books over the years. One gentleman came, and his parents' 50th anniversary was coming up, and he put together a history of the family and how it got to where it was, and the story of how, you know, they'd been married for 50 years, and you know, he'd worked at the accounting office, and his mother did whatever she did, and so on and so forth. It was all a very, you know, sweet, nice little story that would have absolutely no market interest. And I put the book together for him very, very simply and as inexpensively as was reasonably possible. And then we published it. Well, today I would suggest Lulu.com for the actual publication. That wasn't an option when I did this particular book. And what Lulu would allow is that you could print 10 or 15 or 20 copies and just pay for those copies. And frankly, that's about the cheapest way you could publish something like that. And it's a perfectly good thing to do, because then they had the copies to hand out to all the family members, and there was a real official-looking book, and everybody was very impressed. But it certainly was not the kind of a book that you would expect to be put on the market and sell even 50 copies. You know, who on earth would be interested in George and Martha's story of their raising their family, other than the family?
Absolutely. Hit the nail on the head there. There's only one other case that I thought I'd mention, and as people who teach seminars and they know they're going to sell 20, 30 copies of a book from the back of the room, and they really don't have the time to do it any other way, that can be an option, subsidy for that case.
I would argue with them, but it's an option that some prefer to do. And I can appreciate a busy seminar giver might not want to bother with all the hassle of it, but on the other hand, they can print books at, for example, on the basic pricing that Lulu has, if you need more than 17 copies, you can print 25 copies, the minimum, at least two other, and probably more, digital printers for the same money. And for the seminar giver, they already have a company name, so there's no problem with that. All they have to do is buy a block of ISBN numbers, and then they're a publisher. And then they could simply publish their own work. And they would do better to avoid the subsidy publisher's production efforts, because they're usually pretty bad.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, I have to agree with you on that.
And it really isn't that much effort for somebody who's already doing a book. And I know quite a few people, members of the Bay Area Independent Publishers, for example, who do exactly that. One gentleman, his book is called Build Your Dream House for a Song, and he gives classes on building your own home. And he sells 30, 40 copies of his book every class he gives. And he self-published it under his own publishing imprint, and is now running 400 or 500 copies at a time. But he was running them off 100 copies at a time. In the early days, till he's built up his clientele.
Oh, that's a great success story. Let's talk for a little bit about what is a book coach and a book packager, and how can they add value into the process?
Well, every author that wants to publish for themselves certainly may neither have the time nor the inclination to learn all the skills. There are a certain set of things that it doesn't matter if you're Simon & Schuster or if you're Pete Masterson. To publish a book, you need to do these certain things. Now, Simon & Schuster has hundreds of people to do all of these functions. Pete Masterson has himself. So while I'm an accomplished book designer, I hired an editor and I hired a proofreader to go through my book as part of the publishing process. I then hired a printer, because I'm not going to get a printing press and print it myself. So whatever the author does, what a book coach does for the author is the book coach will handle arranging all of the steps to get the book properly published so that it goes through the complete process of editorial control and that the book turns out to be something ready for the marketplace. and the equal of any book. The term book coach, book packager, publishing consultant, generally they are variations on the same theme. One person may use one title, another a different one.
So, Pete, when going to self-publishing a book and, let's say, you know, doing it right, and so that it is comparable or better than what is in the done by the traditional publishers, and let's say hiring a coach, what would be the minimum budget that the author would have to go through all that process to actually have a book self-published?
It really depends on the project, but to be honest, this is not the kind of thing for somebody who's got very little income. Most of my clients, many of them have been retired. Most of them are reasonably successful in the business world or whatever, so that they had a reasonable amount of means. Typically, it could cost $2,000 to $5,000 to go through the process. Book design, an editor is going to charge $30 to $60 an hour. That varies a bit by the area. You have to realize that most editors can process somewhere between 6 and 12 pages an hour, and that depends, of course, on the writing quality and what you're asking the editor to do. A book designer might be able to do a cover from $600 on up. Under $600, it's starting to get a little questionable as to quality. Again, there are regional price variations. An interior design and typesetting, again, depending on the book, might be $3 to $20 a page, and that's per finished page. Typical is probably in the range of $4 to $6 per finished page of the typical book. A fancy book with a complex design and photographs and all of that might be $20 a page. A very simple book, just solid, a novel, for example, might be $3 or $4 a page with some designers. And then the next question is, do you want to run an offset press run and have inventory and storage and distribution hassles, or do you want to print digitally? Or is your book, must it be printed offset? I've done a few children's picture books, and those are generally printed in Asia, and we need to print 3,000 or 4,000 copies to get the unit cost low enough to make them price possible. You can't pay $15 a copy to print something in a very short run and then sell them for $12.95.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
So basically what the writers are looking at is they really do need to have a budget. And, you know, you're saying $2,000 to $5,000, but that's only to get the book published. There's then the marketing, which I know that so many authors go ahead and publish a book, and then all of a sudden they just have no money whatsoever to take it any further. And so there it is. It sits there, and they just can't move it.
The marketing, much of the marketing is a matter of how much you can do for yourself, and how much you can you hire others to do. Much of marketing is getting good publicity, and well, you can hire a publicist, but publicists are often $200 or $300 an hour.
That's right.
And an hour doesn't go very long. But the secret is much of publicity is persistently following up with people. Well, you don't have to pay somebody $300 an hour to call every week and check with a radio producer if they might take their client on to a show. There are things you can do yourself. I have learned that it is very difficult to predict the result of any book. One of my clients came to me, and he wanted to do a book of hikes in the Sierras. And he had been turned down by several specialist in that kind of book. They told him, well, your hike book is focused in one area. You should have hikes all up and down the Sierras, because that way, you know, people that want to hike in the south and the middle and the north, but you're all in one area. And then they also said, well, you want to do color pictures. We don't want to do color pictures. That's too expensive. And frustrated, he came to me, and we put together a 300-page book, full color throughout, has 100 hikes and over 100 photographs, and 100 color maps, hand-drawn, that he drew, and all focused on hikes that are within a one-hour driving radius of the town of Gray Eagle, California, which is a small town up in the Sierras. And, you know, if you'd asked me at the time we sent it off to the printer, it was printed in Singapore because of all the color work, I would have thought, well, you know, there's his lifetime supply. They'll be in his garage. Well, at the end of 10 months, he'd sold out his press run of 3,500 copies. We did a second edition, another 3,500 copies. We've done a third edition, and we recently, he's received his fourth edition. He has sold well over 10,000 copies of the book, and he's one heck of a salesman.
No kidding. That's a great success story.
And he's done it all himself, calling on people in the area and putting the book. You can't go into the area of his target, and you walk into any store, gas station, real estate office, motel, lodge, whatever. You'll see a little display of his books, usually right by the cash register.
Great. That's an inspiration.
And the company that, one of the companies that turned him down, now takes the books on consignment and distributes to trade.
That's too funny. That's great. Well, gosh, Pete, we've come to the end of our time here, and I know that we could go on probably for another hour, but unfortunately we have to cut this now. And I'm so grateful that you came and spoke to us. There's some great information that's been passed on. And I'd like you to have the opportunity right now to give us your website address.
Okay, my website is www.aeonix.com. It has several helpful articles, and one of the most popular features, it has a list of over 100 printers who specialize in printing books, including both digital and offset printers.
Well, that's great. So, listeners, that is aeonix.com. And you can go and browse around and peep that website. And as you said, there's just tons of information there for you. And again, thanks a lot for joining us. And I know that our listeners will be really pleased with all this information that you gave them.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a real treat. So thank you again, Pete. And you've been listening to another podcast edition of Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. We'll be back June 4th, 2009. When our topic will be The First Great Impression, Book Proposals. And our special guest will be Carolyn Howard Johnson. You can learn more about all of our guests on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. We would love to hear from you about tonight's show. Please send us your questions and comments to info@authorsaccess.com. Authors Access is a joint production of Reader Views Incorporated and Loving Healing Press.
And for Reader Views, this is Irene Watson in Austin, Texas, saying good night.
For Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening.